From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Noah Adams. The new school year began in many parts of the country today. Youngsters who got used to a summer schedule of sleeping late each morning found themselves rudely awakened by alarm clocks or by eager parents. But not in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For some time now, high schools there have opened their doors an hour and a half later than schools elsewhere. The decision to move the start time was based on growing scientific evidence about the sleep needs of adolescents. Michelle Trudeau spoke with students in Minneapolis and reports on how the schedule change is working.
This is South High School in a quiet neighborhood 10 minutes from downtown Minneapolis. Here in a large assembly hall, many of the school's 2,000 students gather each morning. It's the hub and heart of the school, alive with movement, with young voices chatting, joking, greeting, connecting. At the far end of the hall, above the cafeteria entrance, a banner reading Cappuccino and Hot Chocolate. Students dashing in for a last quick shot at breakfast and caffeine. It's 8:40 in the morning. First period is about to begin. For the fourth year now, all Minneapolis high schools and all 12,000 students will start school at 8:40 a.m. That's nearly an hour and a half later than the way it used to be when first bell rang at 7:15.
I did have to get up a lot earlier. I think I got up at like 5:50 or 6, which is pretty rough.
At about 6 o'clock, my sister would come in my room and attempt to wake me up after my alarm had been going off for about 20 minutes.
Getting up early, I just remember, was really difficult. Yeah.
When you're that tired, your showers go from 8 to 10 minutes to 18 to 20 minutes.
It's kind of a psychological thing when you wake up in the morning and go to school in the dark. It really sucked.
Minneapolis is the largest school district in the country to change their high schools to a later start time. The impetus came in the spring of 1994, when every school district in the state received a powerful letter from the Minnesota Medical Association. The physicians urged that all high schools eliminate early start times, citing scientific evidence that teenagers aren't getting nearly enough sleep and that this has significant impact on their learning and safety.
Go to first hour, biology with Mr. Cannum, and I'd find myself sitting in there and hearing him speak but not knowing a thing he said. I thought I was in a foreign language class or something.
Starting high schools later cost the Minneapolis district nothing. They did it by rearranging their busing schedule. And they hired this woman to measure the actual impact on students.
Let's see now if I can get the right. We're getting closer. Getting closer. Ah, here we are.
Kyla Wahlstrom, education researcher at the University of Minnesota. Her office on campus is housed, ironically, in a former high school building. Over the past 3 years, Wahlstrom's collected a massive amount of information, so much so that she's had to appropriate the old school lockers to hold all the data on student grades, attendance, sleep habits, moods, sports participation, after-school jobs. It's the largest and longest evaluation of high school start times ever undertaken.
So, we have survey information from over 7,000 students.
Students like these seniors at South High, the last class to have experienced the earlier start time as freshmen.
I could definitely tell I would waste my mornings away till about third hour when I woke up.
I don't know if I ever slept through it, but I might as well, because I certainly wasn't paying attention.
Through at least second hour, I had no clue what was going on.
But sleep researchers do have some clues as to what's going on in the brains and bodies of teenagers.
Okay, room one's all set.
In Providence, Rhode Island, there's a very unusual summer camp for teenagers.
We call it our sleep camp, but it's not like a real camp with horseback riding and swimming.
It's a research lab housed underground and run by pioneering sleep researcher Mary Karskadden of Brown University. In this windowless environment, all outside time cues are eliminated. So no sunlight, no clocks, no MTV, no contact with the outside world. Just uniformly dim light day and night as the teens play, read, eat, and of course sleep for 3 full weeks.
And what we do is sort of take them out of time, as if we've blasted off from Earth and we're in our own little time capsule.
Out of the real time of the external world, allowing the teenagers to sleep and wake to the rhythm, the circadian rhythm, of their own internal biological clocks. They're hooked up to equipment that records their brain waves, muscle activity, heart rates, their waking and their sleeping. And what Karskadden has discovered flies in the face of some long-held assumptions about teenagers. First assumption, teens don't need as much sleep as when they were younger. Not true at all, says Karskadden.
They continued to need 9 hours plus sleep every night. They weren't needing less sleep.